Hey, John.
What's that, Alex?
You know what I hate?
What's that?
I don't know, not much. I kind of like this movie, but I guess just sticking with the theme, I hate Speed Racer. Yeah, me too.
I was going to say, based on your love of The Fifth Element, this should just sort of nestle in right next to it pretty nicely.
A lot of what I liked about this is kind of what I liked about Fifth Element.
No, just, there's a lot of what you said in the Fifth Element episode about insane choices and things like that. I think very much apply to this movie in a good way. Yeah, in a way that I actually agree with this time.
Yeah, because this one really did just go balls out on every aspect. So before we watch this, I'd heard from a few different people that the phrase, something along the lines of that every movie would look like this if this movie, from the point of this movie coming out, whatever year this was, 2008, every movie would have looked like this if this movie had done better. That stylistically, much like everything became 3D after Avatar, that sort of thing, that every movie would go in this pattern. I was like, I didn't really understand that comment because I hadn't seen the movie yet, but I totally get it now, of that kind of not almost non-linear storytelling, or at least allowing for random asides, you know, very much anime style.
Yeah, it was for being inundated with comic book movies now. This is the most comic book movie.
Yeah.
And in a lot of different ways. You have the super bright colors, which even then, like, this is post Batman Begins. I don't even, probably even post Dark Knight, but we're largely moving into grimdark territory at this point. I don't think a ton of superhero movies have come out, but everything about this movie is so bright and shiny, which was very refreshing compared to any movie that's out now. A lot of primary colors and stuff like that. Everything is CG'd, which we also get now, but almost purposefully fake. Like, some of that might just be that the technology isn't as good as the technology we have now. So, you know, it's like you look back at the Lord of the Rings and the green screening in that looks pretty bad. You know, it's pretty obvious. Or you know, you look at Indiana Jones and how fakey the background looks. But some of that, I wonder if it was purposeful, because there's this element to it where everything is flat. Like, a lot of times if you're putting someone in front of a fake background, you try to make it look like the scene. So, like, there's fall off of, like, a focus or something. You try to make it look real, and this very much not. It's designed to kind of look like a live action cartoon.
I think that was purposeful because there were spots where they did it in scenes that were shot on a set that I think they shot it to make it look like they were on green screen.
Yeah.
They tried to keep these really sharp edges. You know what it is? They tried to do it manga style. Manga means heavy lines.
I don't know.
You know, which leads into anime, which heavy lines around.
Don't know any of that.
Well, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm too cool to understand any of this.
Well, sorry, but
I got to stop new push-ups.
King Nerd is going to start talking. You sit over there and have sex with women and enjoy your life. I'm going to explain to you how manga works.
Okay, I'll be over here.
So the idea is just... Is that the noise you make? That's what John sounds like when he's getting blown.
Yep.
Yay! This feels great.
Hooray.
But yeah, I think they were trying to do that dark line around the outs of everything. So everything is just really smashing your face. It's almost like rotoscoped. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot. And there was spots that had jumped out.
Well, everything is so garish.
Yeah.
Like, all the colors are just insane. And not in an irritating way. Like, it all works for me. I mean, there are certain elements as we get more into talking about the movie. The pacing of it is pretty nonstop, and it gets pretty tiring. Like, the visual style of it was great. And it's funny that you bring up Avatar, because Avatar came out this came out in 2008. Avatar came out in 2009. If they had waited to make this movie until like 2010, and like it was 3D, it would have been amazing.
Oh yeah,
it would have been just bonkers. And they could, you know, probably post-process it to some degree. Like, they, you know, a lot of movies that aren't shot 3D, they then release a 3D DVD and it doesn't look as good. I'm sorry, 3D Blu-ray. But this is designed to look insane. And so, like, with all these, like, huge, like, deep backgrounds and all this stuff happening, would have just been mind-blowing.
Which, for me, I would have liked it less that way, because this movie was borderline nauseating.
Yeah.
It was, I made a note in here. Basically, this movie was 4 milliseconds away from being a Michael Bay Transformers movie, where it kept on a shot for that extra little bit that it didn't make me 100% confused.
Right.
While Michael Bay would cut that, you know, that little bit quicker. That's like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know who anybody is. I don't know where I am right now.
Well,
I feel sick. This one let me at least go, oh, we're in a race, and that's this car, that's this person.
They would do some of that in the action scenes where traditionally that is done, but Michael Bay kind of does that everywhere.
Yeah.
You don't want to look at Mark Wahlberg too long, so it's...
I mean, I do. You know, Mark Wahlberg, very handsome man.
Oh, there it is.
Good, we got another one. I was actually thinking about that while watching this movie. I'm like, damn it, there's no guys I'm attracted to in this.
Oh, really? No Matthew Fox? He's not...
His teeth annoy me.
Huh.
He's got this lower... his lower jaw, he's got that center tooth that falls behind the other teeth, huh. And it drives me to distraction.
The performances in this are okay. Like there's nothing amazing, and I liked the villain. The actor that played the villain.
Oh yeah, he was good. Yeah,
he was great in The Thick of It, and I think he's in V for Vendetta, maybe, but not that that's a great movie. But
I think he is in V for Vendetta.
Yeah, Roger Alam, I don't know how to play his name, but he's just delightfully, evilly British in this.
Yeah, he's great. He plays that role well. He fits really well with the other acting because the acting style is meant to be kind of anime and surface level, and he fits it. My problem was Susan Sarandon's too good in this,
yeah,
and it sticks out because you're like, hey, you're using emotions and subtlety, and you're
I thought John Goodman was good, but still kind of stayed in the confines of it.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't too real, for lack of a better word.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, because it's interesting because I think another thing that I like about this movie, me personally having been just so thoroughly poisoned with irony, is that it is just straight up, it is what it is. There's not dodges of like, well, their last name's Racer. No one thinks that's weird. Or the fact that they have a monkey around. That's just given. It's just, yeah, because that was in the comics or in the cartoon. That's what it is. And it's just fully embraced. And I like that. There's a way to do that. Like I like the Brady Bunch movie, how they take the goodness of the Bradys and juxtapose it with the real world around them and how weird that is. But they didn't. There's nothing cynical about this movie. The thing cynical is the villains are the cynical ones.
Yeah, totally.
And that was just kind of refreshing. There wasn't any kind of like postmodern wink wink about it.
The scene that kind of made me think this is going to be a movie I enjoy was very, very early on. There's like three scenes kind of overlapping to start the movie. It's Speed Racer in a race, racing the ghost of Rex, and then flashbacks to young Speed Racer, you know, doing various things. But when we learn that his name is Speed Racer, and we've got three scenes kind of overlapping each other, like, all right, this is, I think they're going to hit the tone of this movie perfectly, because this is already bonkers from the starting line.
I didn't start liking this until the Casa Cristo race, the big rally race. The opening.
Wait, which one? That was the one in the middle?
Yeah, that's the big road race.
Oh, okay.
The one that Rex died in, or is believed to have died.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one. And then this is my problem with the film pacing-wise.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was too, you were saying it's almost like too...
It's too much. Like, yeah. At the beginning, like, so I knew that I was in for, that this was going to be something, like something special to some degree, you know what I mean? Like, they're just swinging for the fences. For good or ill, they're just putting it all out there. Is that, the first 20 minutes of that movie is Speed Racer driving a track and every single character having flashbacks, and you're getting all this backstory. And it's done. It's exhausting because it's just nonstop because you have this action, this race, and then they do this thing constantly, which I like, but is a little overused by the end, where they have a character wipe across the screen like they're watching the race, and you see a shot of the race going on, and like John Goodman's face will just kind of like go across the screen, and it'll wipe to him flashing back about whatever's happening in the past. But there's just such an information dump there. Well, there's also this race going on, and you're introduced to all these new characters just all at once. And I know I said it's 20 minutes long of doing this, so it's not like there's just two information in a small amount of time, but it still is just exhausting. It's just, so by the time that's all done, there's still movie.
Yes.
I was a little sugar rush kind of thing.
I
was kind of crashing a little bit after.
See,
that.
I like that actually. The part that got me, the cross country race, when that was done, I was like, oh, that's only like the end of the second act. Yeah. Like I was, that's where I just kind of was exhausted. I don't think it needs two giant car races.
No, but I mean, stakes. Yeah, but it is a movie called Speed Racer,
but
you know,
but they did the second act race as, in the style that sure. should be the third.
Yeah.
It'd be like a football movie where they, you know, they do the, oh, this is the getting into the playoffs game right. and they do the full length of it.
Yeah.
And that's normally reserved for the final game of the season.
It's, you know? It's every episode of Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. So the pacing is just through. I was like, oh boy. But I like that opening thing. I especially liked, and it's pretty cheesy, but I really liked him racing the ghost of his brother.
No, that was kind of cool.
His car kind of going through the previous race times. I was like, wow, this is winning me over. You know, it's super saccharine and dumb, but I liked it.
It reminded me of this great animated piece of art that I've seen from Japan that's totally not anime because I'm far too cool for that. It's from a movie called Neo Tokyo, and I actually saw this on Liquid Television, but it's a short called The Running Man. If you can look that up, you can watch it on Vimeo or YouTube or whatever, but it's about like racer that goes too far and like he's basically racing against his own demons in his past or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But it's just a visual thing. So when I saw that, I kind of thought of that.
Yeah. There's an Austrian guy and he goes on a
right.
game show and then he goes into the underground world right. and he fights Sub-Zero.
And then he becomes Plain Zero.
Yeah. You're now Plain Zero. Best line
it's
ever.
So good.
So yeah, I saw that anime.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. There was a lot of stuff there. Which I kind of want to talk about the racing a little bit, because the racing is pretty insane in that, I mean, I'm guessing, I don't really remember much of the cartoon. I've seen the cartoon. They do this weird thing, and it took me a while. I think part of the reason I didn't get into it until the Casa Cristo race is that it took me a bit to finally just accept this is a kid's movie. Like, this is a children's movie.
Yeah.
I kept, like, waiting for it to be more like a sort of modern day, more like Marvel movie, I guess, something like that. And then when I say it's a kid's movie, it isn't that it's dumb, and it is in places, but that it's just presented with that sort of just joy. Like any scene with Spritel, Speed's younger brother Spritel, should not be in the movie, but is because it's a kid's movie. And the kids can go, oh, I like candy too.
Yeah, I had to keep reminding myself of that because I fucking hated that kid and that monkey so much.
Yeah, which is, again, true to what I remember about the cartoon.
But it's... I can deal with it better when it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe because I was a fat little kid that sure. I just kind of, and I hate myself so much that I see myself any fat little kid performance that it's just irritating.
Well, this kid, and I don't want to be too mean to the kid because it's, you know, he's just a kid and it's the directors and the Hollywood system, whatever. This kid seems like he's already in his mid 40s. If you look at him, he just looks like an old Jewish guy in a Woody Allen movie or something.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. That is exactly, and I didn't put my finger on it, but there's something off about that. And I think weirdly enough, his energy was the least childish of the rest of the film, which was throwing me off because he is like a Uncle Milty kind of thing.
Well, yeah, it's almost what, like a caricature sort of, where it's the director's being like, okay, this is, I've heard of these children before.
Yes.
Do that.
And it is weird because the rest of the movie is so kind of lighthearted and joyous and actually childish in a good way. That stuff juxtaposed, like, it just felt really dull and slow. But it was a thing of, I guess if I had kids, they would probably love it.
Yeah. So being a children's movie, they do the thing that a lot of cartoons do where people are dying constantly and it is just ignored.
They are not dying though.
So many. Well, see, that's the thing. You'll see some crashes happen, and like that bubble foam comes out. But then you'll see straight up just explosions.
See, I think that's the thing is because they explain the bubble thing. Yeah. You have to assume that no one dies.
You're just
ever.
Assumed. Well, there's that cartoon Invader Zim. They in the commentary track they talk about that. Like the director, the creator Yonan Vasquez says stuff like that guy just died. You don't see it on screen, so he's fine, but he totally just died. There's no way you survived that. But yeah, so all these people are just dying and, you know, hooray, racing. And so then later when this race is, the Casa Cristo is like, this is so intense. It's like everyone has just been murdered constantly. Same thing when the kid has too much candy and he and Chim Chim are on the joyride. Like they're just plowing into people in that car and they're murdering people. But it's fine because it's harmless and no one can get hurt in this universe.
You know, cartoony, so it works. We're still at the kind of beginning three scenes overlapping
where we learn Speed Racer is a developmentally disabled child who has a severe learning disability that no one seems to care about.
Yeah, that's true. He seems to live in a side universe wherein everything is racing, and his visual field changes to represent the race universe. When trying to fill out a Scantron sheet, he writes a love letter to his older brother, Rex.
Yeah.
You're right. It's awkward.
Treated as fine.
Yeah.
It's like, I get that it's a cartoon. He loves racing. Again, it's a kid's movie, so that's fine. School's dumb anyway.
No, this is like sociopathic ideation. But yeah, this is awful.
That, because that took me a second to kind of get used to. Like, this, no one's worried about this kid.
Yeah. But also, we could do it in a style of, well, maybe this is where he goes insane and the rest of the movie is just inside the mind of this really damaged young boy rocking back and forth on the floor of an insane asylum somewhere, imagining Speed Racer.
Right.
Which goes to this scene, and, you know, let's face it, I brought it up and various other things. But when they, how do I word this without sounding like the biggest creep in the world? That scene where Speed's on Rex's lap, and they're driving the car together, that was awkward in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And the way it was filmed was, I don't want to say erotic, but it was filmed in a loving way that didn't read familial.
I think part of the problem is that actor that played his older brother, who actually I mentioned Friday Night Lights earlier, he's great in that show, but he has this very like smoldering tough guy kind of thing that he doesn't ever come out of. And so in that, he's still kind of this like, hi there, I'm your older brother. And it doesn't read as like brotherly and whatever. It's kind of, it's grooming and creepy. So you get these flashbacks of every character. So you're introduced to every single character, including Speed. You hear about his brother Rex. You see Papa Racer, John Goodman, Mom Racer, Susan Sarandon.
You meet Trixie.
Trixie, who... Talk about sort of an interesting choice. I thought it was interesting to have Christina Ricci be Trixie. It's a nothing role. She's just there to be like, go Speed, go. That's it. But it was interesting to choose Christina Ricci because, and maybe this is just me bringing it to it, to the movie, but she traditionally plays like weirder roles and sort of darker things. So to have her do that is kind of an interesting little twist.
I loved it mostly because I love Christina Ricci. Like,
no, and she's great. She's fantastic.
I was trying to figure out why she was cast, and I think it's this. She has really big eyes.
That's exactly
it. It's one of those things. That's exactly it. I think it just reads as anime.
Yeah.
Because she's got these giant eyes and one of those kind of... Because her head is almost like the alien from Contact or any of the Grays. She's got this giant top head and slopes to this almond chin and these big eyes. So she's got like an anime
specific features.
A gray alien look that...
I was kind of irritated by the fact that they even bothered to give her a backstory because she's not really a character in the movie.
Yeah.
She's just there for Speed Racer to be like, I do love you. Yes. That doesn't really go anywhere. Or like, they just don't really flesh her out at all. They kind of do when she races, which we can get to, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But they give a little backstory about her always being in love with him as a when he was a developmentally disabled child.
I did like the little girl that played her, though.
Oh,
that
played
young Christina Ricci. She did a great job. Actually, the kid that played young Speed Racer did a good job, too.
There's a lot of British people in this movie.
And a lot of Australian people, because Moy, that's a word now.
Mm-hmm.
Moy, there's a lot of accents in this movie, and I made a note that the fat little kid sounds Australian at times, and then there's the Australian guy that lives with them, the mechanic.
Sparky,
dude.
Yeah.
Sparky. What I was trying to figure out, so here's the question for you. What year is this?
Yeah, it's...
So, in my mind, is this a post-globalism dystopia that's why the accents are all over the place?
In a way, yeah, because, I mean, ultimately, this movie, Speed Racer's enemy in this movie is capitalism.
This is true, yeah, like very late-stage capitalism.
Yeah.
In which death races are intimately tied in.
But, it's timeless.
Yeah. You know? Well, I sort of like that, though, because it's sort of futuristic, but it's also the 1960s.
Right, yeah, no one has a cell phone, but...
I say this about every movie, but boy, is this Wes Anderson-y. They're so, that 1960s vibe around the house and stuff had such like that kind of.
I guess. I mean, I see what you're saying, but I just.
The aesthetic of his film.
Like jet set kind
of thing. Yeah, that thing. And it's, it read so much as that. I was like, oh boy, this would be great if Wes Anderson directed this. Cause imagine like the dumbest car chases where it cuts back to like a diorama of like a cardboard car moving forward or something along those lines.
Yeah.
I like that. Wes Anderson. That's the takeaway. Let's just talk about him from now on. Fuck this movie.
After all these flashbacks, you get this, you get the history of Rex being a racer, being a great racer, being sent mail bombs, which I don't really fully remember why that was the case.
Well, okay. So here's, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, but here's what I think's happening. And we only find out at the very, very end is that, so this leads into Rex being a dirty racer and getting kicked off the circuit, et cetera, and then eventually dying in a illicit race. What actually was happening is that he was like a whistleblower and trying to be truthful in his racing to try to overcome the nasty bad guys, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But I think those bombs were from the companies that he was racing against, which we don't know at the time because it, you know, this happens earlier in the film. And I'm kind of, if this were a more in-depth film, I would be bothered by that because we don't have enough information to go by, and it's not really set up as a mystery. It's just like, oh, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But since it is this movie, it's like,
it's just like racing. It's cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just like, I'm fine with it. Yeah, it's just, you know, Jim.
Yeah.
It's cool, whatever.
So after, it's kind of like a James Bond movie, because after 20 minutes, the movie actually starts.
Yes.
Because after all this intro is sort of done, the movie sort of formally starts where it's post-race and just around the racer household. And they're visited by E.P. Arnold Royalton.
Great name.
Yeah, it is a fantastic name. Played by that British guy we were talking about. And he loves Speed Racer, loves his racing, and owns Royalton Industries.
And John, more importantly, he loves Speed Racer's mom's pancakes.
They're so good.
That pancake scene had me, I was so enthralled with it. I actually watched it twice because, like, this is, I don't know what about it, but his love affair with those pancakes had me just, joy, pure joy.
That's selling it. He's up there.
And randomly speaks in German because he's an English guy.
Well, he's continental.
Yeah.
But then so his whole thing is he wants to bring Speed Racer on to join his team. And he takes them to his luxurious, I guess it's luxurious. It's a lot of it's goofball, but his factory / compound.
Yeah, he gives them the kind of the Wonka tour.
Like, they got all this crazy technology that they're building cars super fast, much faster than Pop Racer can build a car.
Yes, in a vertical assembly line, which, although just a throwaway line, was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like, their vertical integration or whatever. And yeah, where they train the best racers and all this stuff. And boy, Speed Racer's not that into it because, you know, Pop Racer thinks that the big racing companies are the devil. Speed Racer's not so sure. And Royalton's like, no, it's cool. We're all cool. We want you to still feel special. We don't want you to feel like just an employee. Meanwhile, there's this whole thing where their Spritel and Chim Chim are introduced to candy. Like they're on like a private jet flying there. And like the stewardess is like, you can have all the candy you want. And then we have this protracted scene of them doing that. And then later them sneaking to get the candy, which I guess is supposed to set up the fact that they see that E.P. Royalton is making, I forget what they called those things at the bottom, a spear hook. Maybe he's not what he seems.
Did that happen?
That, what do you mean?
They saw him making that?
No, they saw it on a car. Because they go on this, they get hopped up on goofballs. This is a little bit later, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but they get hopped up on the candy.
Yeah.
And then they go nuts and are driving the go-kart around and murdering people by running into them. And they crash the car, and then like the cops are looking for them. There's security, so they hide in that like Chim Chim sits on Spritel's shoulders, and they put a trench coat on, and they're just looking at a car, and they see the thing underneath the car is doing the spear hook.
You know, I think I missed that part because I was wondering why we spent so much time with them wandering around the factory. I had a pretty difficult time paying attention when the fat kid and the monkey were around.
Because it's just, you knew like nothing was going to come of it.
Yeah. And I missed that part. That actually did. So I should hate them less. That actually did something they did paid off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, like I said, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. So they're wined and dined by Royalton, and then Speed Racer, he's thinking about it, and he has an exchange with Trixie in a car. This is like Trixie's, well, one of Trixie's only scenes where they have this, you know, what do you want to be as a racer? Like, what does this mean to you? And what about our relationship? And is it because of that that he decides that that's not what he wants to do? Or is it because of his dad? I don't recall.
Yeah, I don't think it's as explicit as that. It just basically decides not to join the team. That's what threw me about the hook thing, because it's not like there was like a big reveal yet that.
No, because it comes in. It's you know, it's Chekhov's gun and gets fired in the third act.
Yeah, it would just be weird because you would think the fat little kid would be like, oh yeah, by this way, speed, they manufacture bad things there too.
Well, because it happens, because I jumped forward, because it happened. That is happening concurrently to Speed turning him down. Because so he has this.
Oh, I thought that. Oh, okay. See, I thought that scene where they're driving around all hopped up on goofballs was during the first tour.
No, it's this. The first tour is them being introduced to the candy.
Yeah.
And then the second tour, they did do the thing when Speed and Tracy are together. They did do the gimmick where Spritel and Chim Chim have snuck into the trunk, which, as I demanded at the end of last episode, they treated that with respect and dignity that it deserved. So
it's true.
I was pleased.
Yeah, about that. I'm glad it paid off for
you. So I think they again snuck aboard to go with Speed to go sort of turn in his resignation and, you know, or just turn down the offer. And Speed does, and then mask off of EP Arnold Royalton, who starts laying out this whole huge thing of like, you are going to sign and I'll tell you why. And then this was kind of interesting how they did this, although ultimately very confusing. So he is explaining how the entire race industry is rigged. The big huge race that Speed always wants to be a part of, the winner is selected way beforehand. And going back to the very first race, so Speed's heroes like have always been selected to win. It doesn't matter. And if you turn him down, if you turn on Arnold Royalton, there's a race coming up. He was going to organize some whole thing where you were going to crash, like Speed was going to crash, and then it would be revealed that he had some sort of piece of equipment that infringed copyright. That's where I kind of like...
Yeah, I got a little lost there too.
Oh, go ahead.
No, what I think it was is that he was going to arrange the crash and then... Because I think that copyright thing is just so they're embroiled in lawsuits and ruins the team.
Right.
And that would happen anyway?
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's not... I don't...
So the whole time he's saying this, like the screen has gone darker and you're seeing the things he's talking about happening as while his face like zooms across the screen and that kind of thing. And yeah, so his whole thing is like, well, I'll do this and then I'll set you up so that you're in court forever and it's going to crush you and go to hell. And then we cut to that having had happen. Speed is in the locker room, like bummed out that he lost the race. And this was like the qualifying thing to get into the Grand Prix, basically. And he meets his, like the guy that won that first race, like Burns or something, I think was his name. He kind of talks, he's like, hey, is this stuff really chosen? And the guy gives the, is it fixed? And the guy gives the answer like, yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, basically, but yeah. I'm not going to actually say it. And so Speed is just disillusioned as hell and his chances are ruined. And then is it after that that we're introduced to the family, the cartel?
Yeah, I think so. I actually didn't make a note of that, but I think that's where the cartel shows up.
Now, I liked this because this is also when we're introduced to Racer X.
So that is, because the only thing that happened, sorry, we missed one part, was Speed's mom gives him the talking to that racing is art and that he's like a painter, because that's her kind of reaffirming his love of the thing to try to get him to race again.
Right.
That's the only kind of major thing that happened. Then it's the Racer X fights the cartel.
Right, which, so you have this group of people that are basically, at first I thought like, oh, did they just reuse old costumes from Dick Tracy? No, those are those people's actual faces.
Yeah.
You've got the most grotesque British people you could find.
Yeah.
And just jammed them all in one room. And I like that because I liked the... So it felt like all of a sudden I'm in this other movie where they're threatening this this Japanese racer to... You don't know exactly what at this point, but they want to throw his hand into a tank full of piranhas. This is going on and the evil boss gets a phone call from a woman driving a truck. And then was like, well, they're on to us. And then you find out that office they're in is in the truck.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so great.
No, that was really cool. I was enamored with that. But let's one step back. Were we supposed to, and I know we find out later that it's not, but were we supposed to think that what he was feeding the piranha was his sister?
No. No, because he's threatening the sister. The sister was part of the
threat. Okay, because that bone looked such like a human thigh bone that it threw me off of like, Is he? I was.
I didn't take it as that.
Oh, but, I wasn't sure if it. I mean, obviously, it wasn't because we meet the sister later, but it was.
Yeah.
That threw me on a deep level of like, this got really weirdly dark because it read that way to me. And since this is a very kind of PG.
Yeah, it felt like we're gonna feed your hand to the piranhas and we're gonna do worse to your sister. But there's this action scene where we're introduced to Racer X and he chases this truck and stops them basically. Yeah.
And shoots the thing up.
Yeah, and rescues the guy, the racer.
Yeah,
Who is played by Rain. That is his name.
Really?
Yeah, he is the concept of Rain, made flesh.
Oh, that's his whole name?
Is Rain.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he's like a J-pop guy.
Don't know.
Because he's got the looks for it, and probably.
K-pop.
Oh, K-pop.
K-pop.
Oh, that was close. Yeah.
Yeah. Singer-songwriter, actor, and music producer.
Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, single name, he's got the hair. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, big success. Breakthrough album, It's Raining.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And you find out that guy is part of a different racing car manufacturer. Like, was it Tokugawa Motors? Or
yeah, something like that.
Togekon Racing. So, anyway, so he rescues this guy, and that leads to Inspector Detector showing up at the racer.
Wonderful.
Racer. Yeah, which, I mean, that's just a goofy name. And stylistically, from what I remember about the cartoon, they made this character look pretty similar. But you talk about a handsome guy, that guy, Inspector Detector, with like the very manicured, like he was like, it seemed like he was a model that they just wouldn't be in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. He seemed like he was created in a lab.
Yeah.
Like he was like a handsome monster.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like if you did a Google image search for like handsome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
That guy. But I didn't see his bottom teeth. So I guess I don't know. But
yeah,
so
yeah, that's it. I didn't want to bring it up.
So he's like, well, this cartel is evil and terrible. And we think they might be working with Royalton. We're going to try to get them. But to do that, you got to enter the Casa Cristo 5000, which is this rally race that is alleged that Rex, his brother, died during.
Yes. The very race that killed his brother.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenes in this movie of sports announcers and newscasters giving you information.
Yeah.
And kind of giving you play by play as they go by the screen, which they were fine. But a lot of times that slow pan across of the ad, like, kind of killed the energy for me in some cases. Because it wasn't like it was exciting. The move was exciting. It was just like the same kind of pace of any other scene in the movie where like someone was giving expository dialogue. They're just sort of slowly moving across the screen, like, and now they're going into the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it just, I get what they were doing. But like I said, that whole gimmick kind of got pretty old.
Yeah, I was somewhat, I didn't get as bored of it as you did. But yeah, I'm in agreement there. I did like that they had different groups of people using different accents and different.
Yeah, that was worldwide. Yeah. But so, yeah, Pops Racer, no thank you, says Pops Racer. Don't want anything to do with this.
Yes.
Guess what happens?
Trixie and Speed, they make plans to go skiing. Wink. Yeah, so Trixie, and then Fat Kid and Monkey are sitting on the couch watching the cross-country race. And who's at the cross-country race? Speed Racer. Driving the powerful Mach 5.
And my favorite character, whose name I actually can't remember, the Snake Guy.
Oh, Snake Eyes the best. That's the guy that, 85% Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. He just kept saying turds. Like, let's pinch off these turds.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, his name was like Cobra Face or something.
Yeah.
And he threw cobras with a catapult into other people's car.
Yeah.
So this is where they have the montage of greed, which I found hilarious, where they cut to different teams, like the Viking team being bribed with pelts.
With pelts, yeah. So there are all these different just cartoonish, well, that's a bad word to say, but like,
no, it's perfect.
It is. Yeah.
That's where this movie is at its best, of that level of dumb.
Yeah, it's just giving all these people, the family, the cartel, just giving all these people money. And when it gets to the Viking team, just giving them pelts, because they're like in a cave eating meat.
With like a neon sign in the back that says like Viking or something.
Yeah.
All right. So we go to the race.
Then they go to the Baseball Furies.
We go to the big cross country race, and the various evil teams are vying against Speed.
Yeah.
They're going to get $1 million.
To kill him. And this is, so this is where I started having fun with the movie, because like, as much as I liked the Dick Tracy office in the back of a truck, it was just kind of like, oh, okay. Nothing was really doing it for me. Like it looked neat. and whatever, but I wasn't fully engaged yet. But at this point is, I think, like I said, when I kind of went, okay, this is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board now. Cause it is, there is a big lull before this thing happens. And like you said, this sort of ends up having the weight of the big final race by the end of it, which it isn't. It's only the most, like, you could probably just show this bit as like a short film and it would be pretty fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, this leads to my favorite spot in this movie. They're all fighting with their various car gimmicks. Some have, yes, some have maces, some have shooting goo or whatever, yeah, the hell the other thing. But the best part of this movie, everybody's got these amazing gimmicks. And then at one point, Racer X just punches a Viking in the face.
Yes, it's great. So it's this fantastic. So all these, like I said before, it's funny to me that this is the super dangerous race. Like, one of the reasons John Goodman is against it is not just that Rex died, is that it's full of, I think what they called them, headhunters and all this stuff. It's people just racing dirty and being evil and using all these gimmicks. But that's been happening already in these races.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are doing those weird, using things at the bottom of their car to jump. These weird gadgets to do shit. But for some reason, it's worse in this, I guess. I don't know. But so these people are using these gimmicks, and the other Viking, Speed has thwarted the other Vikings, and the main Viking launches his car at Speed with these two giant mace spike ball things hanging off the back in order to stop him. Yeah, it's this super slow motion thing of, like, Racer X launches his car in the air, and it's this super epic thing, and then it just cuts to a close-up, and he just,
yeah,
knocks him. And that's, I think that moment might be exactly when I was, might have been the moment where it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you, movie.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And
beautiful.
And the fact that he was all proud of himself, he was like, yeah.
That whole thing happens. And this is where the movie slowed for me is that a 2-day race? Is that?
It's a multi-stage race. Cause then what happens is that they, he gets past them. Then he's,
oh yeah, no.
The snake guy fucks with him for a bit.
No, yeah, and then that's the end of the first day of the race.
Right, because they lose that first day.
That's when John Goodman and the rest of the family show up to the hotel room, and it's like, oh no, you're doing this, and it's bad. And,
right, you found wherever we are, you found us.
Okay,
that we're not skiing.
And this is the second best thing in this movie. So they all kind of forgive each other a little bit. John Goodman's like, all right, I'll work on the car because, you know, you added stuff to it and now it's all out of balance. Mm-hmm. They go to sleep and then ninjas attack.
Yes.
While they're sleeping.
Before, I liked that moment when John Goodman did that. When John Goodman was like, you know, like, he was all pissed off. He's like, let me guess. You modified it and it's all out of whack because they put all kinds of gadgets on, yeah, Speed's car, like the stuff that would be in the cartoon, like razor blades and all the stuff. But so John Goodman is yelling at him. Well, I got to figure, you know, is this weird sort of like forgiving? That was him forgiving, yeah, Speed by kind of acknowledging, like, all right, we're doing good. We're going to, you know, let's really win this thing because he loves racing so much. It was just a sweet moment. I thought John Goodman did it good.
Yeah, no, it was well done.
But yeah, but then ninjas attack.
And then ninjas attack. That's the, yeah. So ninjas attack. They poison Rain.
Mm-hmm.
But Speed and who else did they attack? Racer X. They wake up and beat the shit out of.
Yeah, well, they poison Rain. Like, in the only other time I've seen this done, and I love this as an assassination or poisoning thing. The only other one I've seen this is in Gross Point Blank, where they have a thread hanging over the sleeping person's mouth, and they just run liquid down it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I always like that. I don't know why. That just immediately made me happy when I'm like, oh, they're poisoning him. Oh, I love that method.
It is. It's a good one. Of all the ways I've seen people get poisoned, that's in my top 5.
It's not a blow dart. It's, yeah, not, you know.
So there is a blow dart, though.
Yes.
But it hits pillows, and then Matthew Fox beats the shit out of the ninja.
But,
because he's amazing at fighting.
But the ninja fighting is so great because the Spritel and Chim Chim scene.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, the ninja comes to fight Spritel and Chim Chim, and you get this, like, that sort of anime-style flashing lines behind them, and they just grab onto his legs. Then a moment I never knew I ever wanted to see in a movie happen, and then it turned out, when I saw it, I was like, I've been waiting for this forever. John Goodman punches a ninja out of its own pants.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're holding his legs, and he just uppercuts this ninja, and the guy goes, does a backflip, and you see, like, you know, the polka dotted underwear.
Yeah.
He just punches him out of his own pants.
And I also did like the Three Stooges ask where the Chim Chim and Fat Kid are holding onto the ninja's legs, and then Speed punches them. So because they're holding at his legs, the ninja bounces immediately back to full standing, yeah, so he could punch him,
yeah,
again. Very, very amusing. John Goodman turns out, they flash to his ring that says Greco-Roman Wrestling.
Yes.
Which, beautiful shot. beats the shit out of everybody. And then I just, because you and I think alike, I'm going to guess you're going to say the greatest joke of this movie is John Goodman saying.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
Yeah, ninja, more like nanja.
Oh, God, yeah.
Greatest.
I honestly think I shut it off for the night. I went, okay.
I immediately just put more like nanja, hilarious, and thought, that's a thing I hope John loves. Like, I thought of you in that moment thinking, and I really hope you've just been wooed by this film as much as I have.
Yeah, and I can't stress this enough. Like, the stuff we're saying is pretty not interesting. Honestly, like, it's just sort of like, wrote, yeah, then this happens, and this happens. The visuals of all this are so fantastic. Like, the way the camera zooms in to the Greco-Roman wrestling ring and out, like, it's just, it's amazing. It is the most comic booky movie I've ever seen. And it's I do wish more things were like this and as fun as this. Because that's, like you said, like him, this Three Stooges style fight. There was other movies, I think, in Fifth Element, I was kind of complaining about it. In this, it works for me.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is just so sweet and honest and goofy anyway.
Yeah, the only thing I disagree is I think what we're saying is very interesting.
No, but I'm just saying, in terms of...
I think so much so that the audience should be happy to listen and be proud that they're listening to this show.
But I'm just saying, we're not doing this movie justice by describing what's happening. It's so much of it is how it looks.
Cut to day two of the race. Rain is too sick to race because he's been poisoned.
Right.
So Trixie steps up.
Well... his sister, Wink, steps up.
Was that the deal? I wasn't sure if that was actually if that was what's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, is that she's supposed to race because she's still a Togekon racer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But because they know that she has hits out on her, they have put her in Trixie's helicopter, and Trixie is actually racing. And Trixie is a great racer. Yeah. Because why wouldn't she be?
As explained by her saying, I know you're always saying that I'm as good as half the people on the NHL or whatever the name of the racing league is.
Yes, the NHL.
No, I knew it wasn't NHL, but I couldn't think of what it was.
But so she's racing, and she's just doing great. She's pulling all the same crap speed is.
Yeah, she's wonderful at racing, doing backflips. And
in order to do this, she has to wear a lot of eye makeup.
This is true.
Which I thought was a bizarre choice.
And they really focused a lot on how bad she couldn't see with the visor down.
Yeah.
There was a lot of time spent on that, which was a weird choice to me. But
I think they just really, like, we need an excuse to have it be like, look, it's Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
And so it's...
I did like that spot. So they're fighting in the cars, you know, battling back and forth. And Christina Ricci is pressed up against a rail, almost to be thrown off a cliff. And Speed Racer does this kind of ninja star spin move, cutting between her car and the car attacking her thing. I was like,
yeah,
that was so cool. And this was the point that made me realize, and keep in mind, this is 2 hours into the movie at this point, probably. I went, oh yeah, the physics of this movie don't really...
Nothing matters.
But the thing is, it took me that long. That's how engrossed I was in the film, that it didn't occur to me, like, none of this is even remotely feasible within the realm of physics.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because so you're just like, he can just arbitrarily flip the car the way he wants it to, because why not?
So this is...
This is when they're fighting the snake guy, and he's calling everyone a turd.
So they pass the snake guy up after this, and they go to this... a spot of the race where there's no cameras.
Yeah, and inside the pass.
So they try to do a switch of getting, I guess,
the
Rain
sister
back in the car or sister back in the car.
Sister back in the car. Or one of the... No, it's actually, I think it is Rain.
So they go and they have my favorite physical fight scene in the film is where they do like all the cool anime effects when they're all punching each other.
Yeah, so the family is there
to
cut them off, the evil cartel led by Cruncher Block. Because Cruncher Block is going to stop them, but I think then Racer X shows up. Because I forget, there's some whole like back and forth that happens where, like, I've got the upper hand. No, I've got the upper hand.
Yeah, I think that was it.
And then so there's just this giant fist fight. Yeah, and it's all super anime style.
Yeah, I really like that because they did... It's because it's done as a real-life people or whatever. I don't know how to word it in comparison to anime. But using the anime streak cartoon lines behind their fists.
Yeah.
And I just... I thought it was so well done. And also, we haven't touched on... The score in this movie is fucking amazing. Like, the way they blended in the original Speed Racer theme during, like, the triumph moments, I was so fucking effective.
Yeah,
and assuming you've ever heard the original theme. If not, I don't know if it's effective, but I'm old and remember it.
The thing I found interesting is, well, to me, like, someone on the show before, someone on the show that has complained about CG a lot, is that I liked a lot of the CG in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's really CG heavy, but it wasn't just, like, the same old, I guess maybe because it wasn't destructive. It was, I mean, there was certainly like stuff blowing up or whatever, but it didn't bother me. Maybe because it was bright and shiny and not just gray and crumbly.
Yeah. And I think because it was, I don't think they were trying to sell it as real, that it, I think it makes it it makes it more real because they're like, oh, I'm watching a movie where this is the reality. You know, that
yeah.
Is
I mean, there's still stuff where a lot of the car racing stuff, I did not care. You know, it's like, okay, well, this is happening. It wasn't as visceral as, you know, say like a real car chase or something, but it's still very well done. And you get a lot of, you know, it's a lot of the reactions of the people, particularly in the last race. But the CG was very impressive. And in that scene, because like, there's all this green screening and layering multiple actions going on. You don't know if these people are in the same room at the same time when they're filming it, but it's all put together pretty well.
So that leads to basically they win the race.
Yep. They beat those guys. And they do. And I thought they pulled this off really well. So the end of the Speed Racer credits of the TV show, the opening credits, he hops out of the car and like midway through, like running away from the car, the camera like freeze frame and the camera moves around him. Almost like it's a precursor to that Matrix style.
Yeah.
And they did that. And it worked really, really well, I thought. Because he just like flips out of the car.
No, that was cool.
And
yeah.
And they just did it. They didn't like hang a lantern on it that much. It just was, so much has already happened. It was just like, and here's this.
Yeah, and they also, you know, I think it was this moment where I realized he's been wearing the Speed Racer outfit the whole time.
Yeah.
Where he's got the kerchief and the very, but the thing is, again, they didn't hang a lantern on his, they didn't make this whole like, and you should put on your grandpa's kerchief before the race. Yeah. It's just like, nope, he's just dressed for some reason.
It's oddly understated in that way for being the movie that it is. It just is like, well, here's the source material. We don't need to let people know this is the source material. We just need it to be, you know, it's just going to present it.
Yeah.
So there isn't that like the Mach 5, everybody, you know.
All right. They win the race and then it turns out it was all a big con job.
Yeah. Which I liked. So that was just a way for Togekon Motors to sell their stock, basically.
Yeah.
Which was part of, Royalton's basic plan was that, you know, if you win the big Grand Prix, you can sell and buy a bunch of stuff and close out other companies and... And I really like that this movie is a children's movie about fighting capitalism.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, I don't think it doesn't present a thing where, like, that's achievable or something. But I like that it's not just, like, a greedy guy. That it's, like, the system that, like, everyone is doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it is, like, Royalton is the villain of this movie, it is just like, no, this is the system in place. Let's fight against it.
So he gets screwed over and angrily races on his practice track.
Yes.
And Racer X shows up. They basically sword fight with their car dicks for a little while. And then pops out and he's like, hey, you're really good at racing. And Speed's like, look, are you my brother Rex who's actually dead? Because this whole time there's been a subtle hint that he might be Rex.
Right.
Rex didn't die. So... takes off his mask, Racer X, and Speed's like, oh, yeah, you're totally not...
You're not my brother.
Yeah, like, I should have known because most of your face has been showing this whole time.
Yeah.
And you don't look like my brother's
You're not constantly face. Scowling.
You are not smoldering with desire?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit, you're not Rex. Wow, this is... Holy crap.
And his speech was pretty corny. I thought he delivered it fine, but this whole thing about figuring out why you're racing. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, we don't race to change the world. We race so the world doesn't change us. It's like that Gandhi quote that they kind of subverted to be about racing cars.
Yeah. Which, like, I mean, I really, I think that's actually what the Gandhi quote really was about.
Racing.
Car racing. That's where I put, boy, this movie is long. Because at this point, that should have been the end of the film and then entering into part
two. That's why, I mean, I did split this up. I didn't watch it in one sitting.
Yeah.
Because it is like, for as much praise I'm heaping on this movie, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the things that are wrong with it are pretty wrong with it. And it's worth like sort of piecemealing together. I don't think you have to sit through in a single, if you're going to watch this, don't watch it in a single go.
All right. So turns out Tokugawa or whatever, his sister, actually a nice lady.
Yeah.
She's like, here, we got an invite to the Grand Prix and you're allowed to take that invite because you were on Tokugawa's team when we won that race. So therefore you can race in this Speed Racer. And he's like, well, that's rad. But we now have to build a car in 36 hours. Okay, let me stop here.
Bum.
Why? He was just in a perfectly functional Mach 5 car dick fighting with Racer X the previous scene.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Why did they have to build a new car in 36 hours?
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't really establish that, like, something, because it didn't get destroyed or anything.
No, it's fine. There was some paint work needed to be done.
Was it somehow, again, like an... No, it wouldn't have been a copyright infringement thing because unless it's like it's Tokugawa's car. I don't know.
Why, right?
But yeah, because he's like, John Goodman is like, how fast did Royalston say that they could build their crap We'll build it faster than that.
Yeah. And although I actually like the montage of them building the car.
Oh, yeah.
The whole family's involved and Christina Ricci's like, you know, spot welding and yeah. Susan Sarandon. And every time they cut the Susan Sarandon, I go, holy shit, Susan Sarandon's in this movie.
Like, yeah.
I mean, every yeah. time her face showed up, I went, oh my God, Susan Sarandon's in this movie.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, she shouldn't be in this movie.
What has happened? Yeah, but it is, I don't know. There is something kind of infectious about this movie. The main actor, the guy that playing Speed Racer, Emil Hirsch. Yeah, he certainly takes up space.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He says lines. He goes through the scene.
There's a lot of just like, yeah, that person's fine. But I'm on board. I'm still like, the movie is infectious enough that I'm still largely carried along by it. So yeah, I'm pulling from like, yeah, we got to build this car that there's no reason for us to build. Let's do it, team.
Yeah. I think that's the good thing about this is because it's so bright and shiny and garish that you don't you know not to look too closely at it.
Yeah.
Like those are all warning signs, you know, like the brighter the berry, the you know, more likely it's poisonous. Like these are signs nature is giving to not pay too much attention to something. And this nature being the Wachowski siblings is giving a warning sign of just going, no, don't look at the plot. Just it's shiny.
Yeah.
Look, we got the Speed Racer themes happening here. This is great.
Yeah. They do in fact join the race, much to the chagrin of E.P. Royalton.
Oh, he's pissed.
He is furious because Tokugawa is like sat out. And they're like, nope. And then last minute entry, it's
because they already got theirs.
Yeah. And Royalton is furious. And Inspector Detector shows up and is like, nope, we've analyzed it. It's real. And under some space law or whatever, he's like, you're violating the statute of not letting dudes race. So you have to let him race.
I also like, and it goes with how much of the kind of meta of this film, of how much they know they're kind of being unoriginal, but in a fun way. Like, so when the announcer going, wait, hold on, there's something happening over there.
Yeah.
Like they did it in such a like rote, this is exactly the way it is in every other movie that I felt like, oh, they're doing this so purposefully. Like this is because the anime is mostly just recycled shots and recycled dialogue from previous episodes. It's almost like He-Man.
Where right.
I just like that they kind of, it's them paying homage to that in certain kind of like these trope ways. It was really fun.
Well, I think it might've been here that I sort of finally realized that the Wachowski siblings aren't that horny in this movie. You think of so many of the other movies. I haven't seen Jupiter Ascending, but like Bound, an incredibly horny movie. The Matrix trilogy got pretty horny there, you know. And there was like for everyone wearing leather. I mean, his assistant was a little bit like, hey, look at this hot lady that's my assistant, E.P. Royalton. But generally subdued. And I thought that like, so I started thinking largely about just this being an interesting choice for them to do as a movie, coming off the Matrix movies, which, I mean, were some time ago by the time this came out, but still, that was their thing. And now to do like, well, we're sort of known for this dark green movie about fighting the system. Let's do a movie about fighting the system that's like all bright and shiny and then just for kids and largely eschew our, you know, dark metal techno aesthetic for a aqua pop aesthetic kind of thing.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And you're right. Yeah, there is very little horny in this. Like, and the only, like,
which is good because it's a kids' movie, but.
No, but even kids' movies, usually they make, like, a joke. It, like, the most joke was, like, them getting cooties when they're kissing in the car, where it's, like, it's very. I mean, again, it's very 1960s anime or 70s, whatever the fuck the original came out. So, this is the final of the big race, the Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a new car built.
It's on the same. It's a different track than the one Speed always races on, but it's the exact same track.
Except this one has a spike section, which made me laugh out loud.
Yeah,
we're in the middle of a race. There's just a section with giant spikes in the middle of the course. I just for some reason the reality of that just hit me in the face, and I just started giggling.
Well, for me, for that was the section where the track drops at a 90-degree angle.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, then you race down the wall. I don't understand what's so strange about this. And Speed's in trouble because he's not facing forward. He's falling, not driving.
Yeah. It was at this point where I realized I would like to play F-Zero again for Super Nintendo. Yeah. Because it's like, oh, wow, this is like that one course. They fight, and he's good. And at one point, his car gets in trouble after having a jousting match with 90% Sacha Baron Cohen.
No, the Sacha Baron Cohen's out of the movie. This is Cannonball. This is one of his idols of racing.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy that looks like Rex Bannon.
Yeah, the guy looks like Rex Bannon from Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's this French guy, and he's basically the chosen one for this race, the one that's going to win. But Railton has pointed out, with speed being involved, that he's put a spear hook on his car. He's like, I don't need that. He's like, it's for just in case. Turns out just in case happens. Speed Racer's beating him, and so he fires that off. Basically, what that does is it attaches the bottom of Speed Racer's car, and they're stuck together. And so he's just trying to smash him now.
And then, so Speed sees that he's coming up to a camera spot, because for some reason there's only a few cameras.
Yes.
And he goes, all right, this is my chance. So he bounces his car up and spins it in the air so that the speed hook can face the cameras.
Right.
Thus showing the
treachery.
The dark underbelly, pun intended, of racing.
Exposing the underbelly of racing.
Yes. You think they meant that?
That's good.
These guys
good
are powerful
stuff.
Writers. So that happens. You're
good writing, Rick and Morty fans. Look at this.
Yeah. So that happens. And his car is fucked.
Yeah, because it's torn some piece of tech.
Some bee ba boo 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 boo. Lots of hyphens.
Sparky.
And good God, good on John Goodman for pronouncing all that in a row.
Yeah. Well, and the Sparky, John Goodman's assistant, who's supposed to be this kind of comic relief or something. I just didn't like that guy.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against him. He was fine. I just
Well, you're on record of hating Australians.
Well, that's true. Also, have some sleeves, huh?
That's true. I hate sleeveless people. So he's stuck there and going, I don't know how to restart the engine. And then we cut to Racer X going, listen to the car.
Yeah.
And then Speed's like, wait a second. Everybody shut the fuck up. I'm going to listen to the car. And he figured out that he can jumpstart it by being in fifth gear and some kind of thing happens and a thing.
Oh, is that what it was? Because it seems like he just sits there and goes, what do you need, baby?
No, that's what he does. But John Goodman explains in expository dialogue.
Oh,
that,
I guess I missed it because I was too busy just laughing at him like.
Yeah. No, so there's three things happening. Is Racer X says, oh, you have to listen to the car because then you'll finally race the race. The race won't race you or whatever.
Right,
kind of cheesy Yoda-esque thing. Then John Goodman is doing the expository dialogue going, well, I guess it could work if he tries to jumpstart the car in fifth gear and does a blah, blah, bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah.
And then Speed Racer kind of lovingly strokes the car and goes, what do you need, baby? What do you need? And then he goes, oh, wait a second. Fifth gear. Explosions. Yeah. Hey, shit. My car's running again. And then Racer goes, he's finally done it. He's entered the Matrix. He's going to fly away at the end. Like, he has that moment of in total control. He's finally a racer. No one can stop him. He is, in fact, a demon on wheels. He's a demon, and he's going to be chasing after someone. And that someone is the fucking Grand Prix final.
It's the ghost of his dead brother. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what I also liked about that, again, I cut it slack because it's a kid's movie, but it was sort of like what we're talking about in Order of the Black Eagle, where it's Hitler, and then there you see the frozen body of Hitler, and they're superimposing footage of Hitler over it.
Yeah.
Where it's like we know these scenes have happened and they're just, you know, their movie is telling you what's happening, like this is the big moment, so let's run these clips of everyone like saying things while Speed realizes this. And that's pretty corny. I'm like, it's a kid's movie.
I liked it though. I mean, and you know, so you're getting psyched up and then he's become the Kwisatz Haderach. He's done you know, he's got the thing that makes the ending possible.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna be great at racing.
Hope.
Now. Yeah. So he's done it, and he starts kicking ass and just beating the shit out of everybody else in the race. And also, boy, those other people have to suck at racing, because the guy that Speed, spoiler alert, he wins, but he stopped for a while.
He stopped for a while. No, they're very far ahead.
You haven't seen such bad racing as when Saboba lost a two-lap lead to Anakin in episode one.
Lost a lot of money on that.
Yeah, the fans of Menace.
But yeah, no, they were pretty far back. That's how good the two of them were, though, is they were so far ahead, him and Cannonball. And then, yeah, Cannonball is still racing, and Speed catches up to him, and they bash cars a lot until Cannonball gets covered in, like, because apparently if you crash a car enough, we kind of talked about this earlier, like some foam will come out and protect you and put you into a soap bubble, and you're safe.
Yeah, Demolition Man-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens. But while after Speed, we kind of gloss over this, after Speed becomes one with the car, shit gets weird.
This is wonderful.
The visuals of this movie are already insane, and they get worse.
Yeah.
Like, he drives across the screen, and the screen becomes like a lava lamp. Like it was water and liquid, and it's just swirling around. And he's like driving into the ending of 2001.
Yeah, just hyper speed, like Star Wars style, where they're like, all the stars are spinning in your face.
They somehow took it to the next level.
Yeah, and then they get the kind of the end where I guess he's crossing the red line, and the red lines just kind of swoop past you. It's like you're inside of like a barber pole.
Yeah.
Of him just insane acid trip. Amazing ending, and that's the big win. That was fucking great.
That was really cool. I kind of, because I, you know, I talked about getting kind of bored with the visual style to a degree because you're just so pummeled with it. And this movie, it's so fucking long. I got so sort of worn out by it because it is very much just this constant sugar rush of visuals and all that stuff. That I think, if you're 12, you might be, totally all about it or something, but I'm tired. But when that happened, it did knock it up. It was like in the going back to the Matrix. It was like the first time I saw the Matrix, and I was enjoying it. I was having fun. But as soon as Neo became the one, and you're seeing all the code, you see the helicopter hit the side of the building, and it ripples. They managed to knock all the visual stuff that was all crazy before. They managed okay, well here's even more. Let's knock it up. And I like that. That they continued that thing in this one, and it was very effective.
Yeah, that part, that was a really great,
because it wasn't just that he found the heart. It wasn't just that he found the heart to win the race. He became something else at that moment.
Yeah, it was trippy as shit. That was good times. Yeah,
and so he does win, and then that's basically it. He kisses the girl as he promised he would, and they drink milk.
Yeah,
which is very wholesome and sweet. And what I like about it, unless I missed some post-credit sequence, is then it was okay, that's Speed Racer, everybody. Thank you. It wasn't setting it up for but Snake Man's coming back.
Well, you missed one spot, but there is no post-credit sequence. I sat through to make sure. But you missed the reveal that, wait a second, Racer X actually is Rex after all, because they show how he got facial reconstructive surgery after faking his death.
They do a whole flashback, which, okay. Thanks, but that didn't need to be that long.
Yeah.
You could have just had him say was it a mistake? And I don't know, that could have been so much shorter than it was.
Yeah,
because what we've just seen, and with him just entering the fifth dimension of racing, and now it's okay, now some backstory. The movie's over, everybody.
That could have been set up. It could have been put somewhere. Maybe put that while Speed is racing.
Yeah.
The final race. Reveal happen. It was oddly placed.
It was a neat little character moment. But it was badly placed. Then you see credits. Before the credits, you see all these newspaper headlines about. And they talk about how everything is going to change. That this is going to change everything because he didn't pick the winner. The picked winner didn't win, and this is going to change how the industry is run, which is kind of bullshit because you never get the sense of that. And Tokugawa, or I'm sorry, Tokugawa screwed him over before. What's to stop him from doing it again? And when one of the racer that he talked to earlier, Burns, that was basically just I got picked to win, after he blew that one race, he's announcing the Grand Prix and he's scolding the cheating team. And that made me mad.
Yeah,
I'm you are in on this. You don't be cheaters. And this is a shame.
Well, I think what they were going for, and they did not do it well, was it was supposed to be that he was actually a good guy and really hated that he had to be part of the fix. And that his redemptive moment is being redemption through Speed Racer. That's why he started cheering for him. And he's finally, I feel like I can,
Right. But I think that also, to me, it's sort of right at the subtext of, I don't want to get all socialist about it, but this thing of the horrors of when I didn't know this stuff was happening, or it wasn't that big of a deal to me that this stuff was happening, I was okay with it, but now that you've put it in front of me, I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
And so it was just that, which I kind of liked his little subtext, because he's I didn't think it was redeeming for him at all. I thought it was just the machine at work, where he's well, this is terrible now that everyone else notices it.
Hmm.
But before, I was okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say I was buying the subtext. I just thought I thought that's
I think I mean, it could totally be read by that, like that. I'm just spending too much time on Twitter. It's basically what that is.
Yeah, and he also knelt during the anthem.
Oh, that's true. Okay, well, that's I wrote him off immediately.
That's why I protested this movie.
As a troop, I can't watch this.
So the big reveal, Rex is Racer X, and then they cut to the credits.
Then it's we won, and the little kid kisses the trophy. And then there started to be credits with the monkey involved, and I was like, I'm not watching this. So I'm glad you sat through for the post credit.
I didn't sit through. I clicked forward every now and again. So if there was there could have been a 30-second scene that I didn't notice. That was Speed Racer.
Yeah. So ultimately, there's so much about this movie that's really cool, but it's a tough sell for me to actually recommend it. I feel like you have to be in the right mood for this, and it is paced really, really poorly. I feel like you could probably, if you have any idea of Speed Racer at all, you could probably skip the first 15 minutes. If you're no, I know the backstory and his brother and Racer X, it's not that complicated. If you just start with E.P. Royalton showing up, it's still going to be a long movie, but it's going to be a bit more bearable.
Yeah, I would say try to watch. I would say watch it, but break it up into two.
Yeah.
It didn't even occur to me to do that. And you know, don't look too deeply. And frankly, it's on HBO Go.
Yeah.
So it's free essentially if you have that already.
Yeah.
Like, don't put any effort into this. It's really just if there's nothing better to do, there's some very pleasing moments.
Yeah. And my hat's off for them for like, just like I said, swinging for the fences and just doing this bold, insane movie. But they, unfortunately, they jumped the gun. I think if this movie had come out later, it would have been, and I, you know, I don't know what it was up against in terms of the box office or anything like that. But if this, I think if this had come out like post 3D, it would have done a lot better, because it's just like the visuals were so crazy. And I think that flatness of everything, like I was saying, would have lent to that a lot more, because you don't have to worry about the sort of depth of field and all that. Like, you could just have all these different planes happening and it would have been just bonkers as hell.
And so, thanks to Speed and Trixie and Spritle and Racer X, everything has turned out well. But more dangerous adventure lies ahead in the next thrilling episode of Speed Racer.
For next episode, we are going to watch a current movie in theaters now, Darren Aronofsky's Mother.
Mother!
Yes.
It's got an exclamation
point. Oh, it does.
Yeah.
A lot of talk about it. I don't know anything about it other than it seems to be a rather divisive film.
Yeah.
I just hope they use Pink Floyd's Mother in the soundtrack somewhere.
I hope we differ on it. I hope one of us likes it and one of us hates it. In either case, then I'm right.
I hope that we both like it equally and just have a joyous good time.
And just we don't even say anything. We just sort of wistfully just look out in the distance and just,
Mother.
Mommy.
Go to johnandalexhatestuff.com, leave reviews on iTunes, subscribe, do the things that every other podcast has told you to do, but yeah, do it for ours, because that would be helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.